Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
I now ask unanimous consent that at 1:30 p.m. today, the Senate proceed to the consideration of S-3664, which is a bill regarding debt limit increases, the text of which is at the desk.
To Capitol Hill now, where for a moment in the U.S. Senate there seemed, yesterday, to be agreement between Republican Mitch McConnell and Democratic leader Harry Reid. An up or down straight vote on raising the debt ceiling? Sure. Sounds like a great idea.
Is there objection?
Madam President, reserving the right to object, matters of this level of controversy always require 60 votes, and so I would ask my friend, the majority leader, if he would modify his consent agreement to set the threshold for this vote at 60.
Oops, not so fast. McConnell now wants the 60-vote rule. I'm going to debate until you find 60 votes to quiet me down. McConnell is saying he wants to filibuster the up-and-down vote he just asked for.
Majority leader?
Reserving the right to object, but what we have here is a case of Republicans here in the Senate once again not taking yes for an answer. I guess we have a filibuster of his own bill, so I object.
Filibustering yourself? That's a new one. And quite frankly, it doesn't sound healthy.
Objection is heard. Got whiplash.
Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill there, a Democrat, feeling whiplash at the proceedings in the Senate. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick joins us. Hey there, Todd.
Hi, John.
So Harry Reid wants to reform filibustering, but it seems like this is a bit of a new one yesterday. What's going on?
Well, actually, filibustering yourself isn't new. You wish it were. It happens a little bit more often than you'd think. Procedural tactics and sort of, arcane procedural tactics were what was at play there when Mitch McConnell stepped into his own trap yesterday. But Harry Reid's promise, backed by a whole bunch of senators, mostly sophomore senators, to reform the filibuster really goes back to 2005, when Republicans threatened to do much the same thing over judicial nominations. And really what they want to do, not to get too far down in the weeds, on most bills, John, there are two opportunities to filibuster. You can filibuster me wanting to get the bill on the floor, and then you can filibuster actually voting on the bill. And Harry Reid's reform, which he says will happen with Republicans or without them, they can join the effort to negotiate or not, is to take away that first filibuster, just to say you can no longer require 60 votes or unlimited debate on that bit to get the bill to the floor. And secondly, if you do filibuster, no more of this I object and then going back to your office or flying off to a wedding or just letting a bill sit out there. If you're going to filibuster, you got to do it the old-fashioned way. You got to get on the floor with your allies and talk until you can't talk anymore or you get those 60 votes.
I guess a lot of people will be renting the Jimmy Stewart movie.
That
gives you some instruction on actually how to do that. Are they out of practice actually talking there in the Senate? That would be unusual.
Well, they're certainly not out of practice talking, but delay has become too much of a practice in Harry Reid's view. And he has a point. To a certain point, the filibuster itself, the device of using those objections, sort of what you just heard, in order to slow bills down, has skyrocketed. Since 2007, John, 284 requirements for cutting off debate. In other words, filibusters. And that is basically logarithmically more than in any era in the past. They shot up as a delay tactic. Now, Republicans have an argument, too. They say Harry Reid has cut off their ability to amend bills, another important Senate tradition. They say we're blocking all these bills because Harry Reid uses his procedural tactics to block amendments, and we don't get to have our say. So there's a standoff here, but Harry Reid is the one who says on January 3rd, when the new Congress convenes in the new year, we're going to change this rule, and it's going to be extremely controversial because of the way he wants to do it. It has the potential to really grind the Senate down even worse than it is right now and to really fray relationships, John.
All right, hold on there for a second, Todd. The other big story yesterday was the announcement from Republican South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint that he was leaving the Senate to take up the head of the conservative Heritage Foundation, the think tank there in Washington. Joining me now is chairman of the South Carolina GOP, Chad Connolly. Welcome back to the show, Chad.
Hey, John. How you doing today?
Pretty good. Is there a backstory here? DeMint, does he want to be a kingmaker like Bill Kristol with Karl Rove's credibility a little in doubt after the election in 2012?
No, I don't think there's a backstory at all. I think it's a guy who's he's just a real man. This is a guy who's been a personal friend and mentor. When my first wife passed away, he called me from the Senate floor and just gave me condolences and prayed with me. When I met my new wife, he was one of the first to congratulate me. I mean, he's a real person, but look, he's got to be frustrated. He's working with Harry Reid and the Democrats, who, even though they've had a dominant majority for the last few years, for 3.5 years, haven't even presented a budget, and yet blames Republicans. So you got to think he's frustrated. I think he sees an opportunity to make the Heritage Foundation more of a national push. They're already a great icon for our side, but nobody knows who they are, really, and now they're going to be a household name because of Jim DeMint.
So do you think he'll have more power at Heritage than he has on the Senate floor with Harry Reid in the majority?
Yeah, I think he feels that way. And I spoke to him yesterday and I said, Senator, I'm saddened. I hate to lose you in the Senate. You've been a hero to so many people across the nation. But he really does feel like he gets a duplication effect at Heritage, and he really can't get bills passed or legislation pushed through with a Democrat-controlled majority. But now at Heritage, he can help us better articulate the message that obviously we didn't do that well doing this past election cycle.
So now, Chad, you got to find yourself a Senate candidate, right?
Well, you know, that's up to the governor. And the great thing, John, is we have a deep conservative bench here in South Carolina. There's a lot of folks to choose from. And I trust Governor Haley to make a good, wise choice to give us another Jim DeMint type senator.
All right, the Chad Connelly, chairman of the South Carolina GOP, dealing with the waves in the wake of Jim DeMint announcing his leaving the Senate and going to the Heritage Foundation. Is that going to upset the numbers in the Senate, Todd?
No. Jim DeMint is a Republican and will be replaced by a Republican, and they'll probably make sure he's replaced by a conservative Republican. But, you know, Jim DeMint leaves a legacy behind him, and when you talk to senators about it, it's interesting. It's true that he has been a principled right-wing conservative in battling President Obama and Harry Reid. But keep in mind, Jim DeMint was doing this before Harry Reid took control of the Senate and before President Obama took the White House. It was back in 2008 when he famously used his powers as a senator to force a vote on a global AIDS bill on a Saturday and then didn't show up for the vote, went home for a wedding. Nobody in the Senate has ever forgotten that. Everybody likes Jim DeMint personally. They say they're not going to miss his tactics.
All right, two quick things. You get paid more at Heritage than you get in the Senate, and what about committee assignments?
Oh, you get paid a lot more at Heritage. The last president of the Heritage Foundation made about $1 million a year. Senator DeMint's Senate salary is $172,000. We don't know how much he's getting paid at Heritage, but yes, it is more than a senator makes, I promise you. Committee assignments, well, he's on the committee of the Heritage Foundation now. I'll tell you one committee that's really important to Jim DeMint, the Senate Conservatives Fund, the PAC that he runs, raised and spent $14 million electing conservatives to the Senate. He can still be affiliated with it from outside the Senate, but it's going to be interesting to see how that massive conservative money machine that he's poured in to get conservatives elected, sometimes successfully, sometimes not in this last cycle, will operate once he's out of the fray there.
All right. Todd Zwillig, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Have a great weekend, Todd.
You too, John.
The debate on the Takeaway website is all about college degrees. How much are they worth? Are they really necessary? Winston wrote this: "What my job requires is creative solutions to highly unstructured technical problems. College and grad school just turned out to be an efficient way to get those skills." All right. We'd love to know your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And coming up next week on The Takeaway.
Starting today, we must pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and begin again the work of remaking America.
Nothing's impossible, I have found. When my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, start all over again.
Well, Obama didn't do that today. It was a few years back. But to put the country back on its feet, we're going to check in with cities that are officially deemed recovered and get insights on how the rest of the nation can follow suit. Dust yourself off with The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Have a great weekend. This is The Takeaway.